Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
More than 20 million people watched the Charlie Kirk Memorial Service on September 21st. Well over 100,000 attended the service in person. Millions more have watched on replays, YouTube, Rumble, and so forth. Charlie Kirk led a remarkable life. But his death shared the gospel as broadly, perhaps, as any event in human history. I love Charlie. I'm honored to have called him friend. And what amazed me so much over the past few weeks is learning how many other people that he touched personally, famous people, ordinary people. So many have remarkable stories. Yeah, I was with Charlie and this happened and so forth. My wife, Marnie, and I are among those who had personal time and opportunities with this great man. So I asked her to sit in as co-host for this program. Welcome, Marnie.
Thank you. It's so good to be with you.
Marnie, you're the best friend, my best friend. You're the mother of our children, and you're another person touched by the life of Charlie Kirk.
Yes, I'm going to have a hard time getting through this.
Yeah, well, remember when Miss Joy told us about this young 17-year-old? She said, he's going to change the world.
So our friend Joy, she was his very, 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 as far as we can tell, and they've agreed, his very first donor, and wanted us to know this guy named Charlie. He's really young, but we should get to know him.
Yep. She was a Steinway dealer in Chicago. She passed away a couple of years ago. She was old enough to be our mother, right. But she was more like a sister. She treated us more like a sister. She let us speak into her life. She spoke into our life.
She was a sister in Christ.
Yeah, she was. And she died a couple of years ago. And when I heard Charlie had died, I thought, you know, Miss Joy is going to be the first person greeting him in heaven.
I absolutely thought that too.
And when we heard Charlie died, one of your very first comments, Marnie, to me was that Erica should be made, his wife, his widow, should be made the head of TPUSA.
I did. In my mind's eye, I literally saw her standing on a mountaintop with armor and a sword raised and her long, beautiful golden hair flowing in the wind. And I just saw her rising up like a lioness, like, I mean, roaring across not only the country, but the world. This is a world changing.
Yep. And then we saw the letter of announcement on September 17th. A turning point starts with in Ecclesiastes, King Solomon wrote that mankind is to be tested by God. Today we're facing such a test. And the author of these words, it's an incredible letter. I looked down at the bottom and I said, that letter is amazing. And I saw the signature of our dear friend, Doug DeGroote. And Doug is joining us on Pirate Money Radio this morning. Doug, I read your letters all the time. This one was heartfelt, touching. You know, normally it's on economics and where the world's headed. In this day, you wrote a touching and powerful letter about Erica Kirk. Welcome.
Thank you so much. And she certainly is a lioness. She's amazing. I cannot tell you just how proud I am of her and just the... Get me choked up, Marty. You know, I tell you, she's going to do so well. And the team behind her, we are blessed for having her. They're meant to be together. Those two were truly partners.
How's she holding up?
She's doing great. She's, look, you know, I know that there's times that she is probably struggling with it. She's got two young children that she's got to, you know, be a parent to and love and just nourish and just provide everything she can there. And at the same time, she's got an amazing team around her to really help to facilitate, you know, her and Charlie's goal. I'll tell you, I mean, Charlie shared everything with Erica. I know that. And they're partners in life in more ways than most couples ever come together. You know, we often have our silos that we put things into. You know, you go to work, you come home, you know, you don't always, you know, talk about everything that happened at work. But Charlie, he was there with her all the time. And, you know, when he was traveling, I know that they shared a lot of time together and she was involved in everything. She knew what was going on.
That's the way it is with you, Mrs. Freeman.
It is. I love standing beside you, doing the things that you're called to do. There's nothing like it, being able to do that in such a deep partnership. It's strong. Yeah. It's powerful.
I saw the look on your face, Marnie, when the announcement was that he died. And when he was shot, I saw the look on your face there. And I know I could feel that. I could tell you were rolling back in your head the death threats that I got, you know, years ago. And you saw that. But you're a pleasure to be with. I love having you. And you were my partner. There's a picture of us. We went together. Turning Point Action had an event right before the election, and President Trump and Charlie arranged that for us to pray for him. And I look at the picture of that. I've got it right here on my laptop. You with your gray hat and me with my gray hair praying for the president. Doug, you and your wife have a great relationship too. And Charlie was so big on that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Charlie and I spoke often about faith and family. And I'll tell you, it was truly the center of his life. Those two, faith first and family, there's nothing more important to Charlie. In fact, Erica said it best. If Charlie, you know, when they talked about it and he said, well, if I ever do run for president, I'm going to make faith and family the focus of my presidency, if he ever did. You know, America lost out on an amazing man and a future of that family in that respect. But we have a lioness, as you said, are truly, truly making it happen. And I'm so proud and honored to be able to serve her and to keep you saying, I will tell you, family and faith are going to be the center of her as well. She truly was a guiding light for Charlie over time as his speeches and his life work really evolved. And he was always faithful. He was always spiritual. But I'll tell you, Erica lit a fire under him that, in my opinion, really galvanized America around our faith, family, and freedom.
Well, President Erica Kirk, I'd be happy to vote for that as soon as she turns 35 and is eligible. You know, we got to see Charlie a lot through the years. I remember right before COVID at Liberty Convocation, there was the great Charlie Kirk, and he had his team. Yaku Bullions was there and so forth. And I was there. We shared the convocation stage at Liberty University. And then at the Pro-Life FinTech launch, which is our friend Nick Vujicic, launched that with Betsy Gray. And they launched a great pro-life fintech, and I got to speak on stage with Charlie. And he's just as human then, as famous as he was back in March, you know, having changed the election. He was just as human and just as kind and just as, I mean, you know, he was respectful. We should be, well, of course, we all looked up to him. He's 6'5", right? But he looked up to us in a way, and I'm like, Charlie, you know, you've accomplished so much, but he was always respectful.
Yeah, anybody who's saying that he was evil and racist and all the things did not ever listen to him. They would have known the truth that he debated respectfully. Did he get, you know, he did great things. He honored whoever was on the other side. And then he has also honored, you know, us, the people who walk alongside him. Everyone felt like his best friend, and he made them feel that way.
When he was 17, for donations, you know, 17 asking for donations, he was respectful. When he changed the world and was a friend who could call President Trump anytime he wanted to, he was still respectful.
Yeah, he was an amazing man, and I'll never forget meeting him at Safari Club International. Mike Miller, who's on the board, introduced me. And I got to know Mike when I was about 19, 20 years old. And Charlie, he introduced me to this 19-year-old kid. He was, you know, 6 months out of high school. And it was just amazing to listen to this young man's vision of the world and his mission. And, you know, when you look at a guy who just that age, you immediately knew there was something special about him. But I'll tell you, to watch him grow and just, you know, really just take hold of who he is, to try to be better every day, that guy did not waste 1 minute making the world a better place. And for people that have doubt or you know, criticism of Charlie Kirk, they didn't know the man that I know. That guy was a special, special man.
Yeah, he was. And he loved Jesus. He served Jesus.
He loved.
We're going to be talking more every about day. The great Charlie Kirk right after this break.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
I'm joined with my wife, best friend, partner of life, Marnie, and our good friend, Doug DeGroot, who's on one of four board members of Turning Point USA, besides Erica Kirk, who is now the chairman and the CEO. And we're talking about Charlie and his life. It's amazing. And how he shared his platform. He had no platform. He came from modest background. And he convinced people to give him an opportunity. He took it and he changed the world.
He had such a calling on his life. A passion, a fire like I have not seen.
Well, the fire, let's give credit to where credit is due. It was the Holy Spirit of fire.
Absolutely.
Living out through his life.
And we're not worshiping Charlie here. We're honoring him, but we worship our Lord and Savior who worked through him.
Absolutely. Doug, you knew Charlie super well, and you also know Erica, and you know the family, and you're there. You've got a legacy to carry on with Turning Point. It's amazing.
Yeah. No, it is amazing, and I'm honored. I ask God every day and pray every day that He gives me the wisdom and the courage to do the right thing and the words to that are the right words to serve Him and the people around us at Turning Point. So, Charlie, I have to tell you, was just a fantastic leader. The guy, when you consider Turning Point where he was, you talk about sharing the mic. I have no idea exact number, but I can count on, I don't have enough toes or fingers to count how many people that I know that he gave a platform to further the cause, that went off and have created their own shows that have done extremely well, not only financially, but are spreading the word on a daily basis through their podcasts, radio shows, what have you. That guy was the ultimate leader because, what he did is he never worried about him. It was always about expanding the size of the pie, not to the just how big his piece of the pie was. He didn't care. Yeah. It was all about, hey, how do we make this movement grow? How do we bring more people in? He was the ultimate big tent leader that the Republican Party was looking for. In fact, in my lifetime, and Kevin, you know more about this than I do. You're way more studied on it than I am. But this is the first election that I can remember in my lifetime that the Republican Party didn't have a bunch of silos fighting against each other. And I will tell you, that's because of Turning Point. Turning Point wielded so much voice in this past election through chasing the ballots and doing the things that the Republican Party wanted to do but could never do. Charlie organized.
You know what's amazing about that? I remember the moment I got the call from Charlie and saying, I want to put you on main stage at America Fest. And that was last year. And when you walk out there, you feel like a superstar because they've got the fireworks going and everything. And you walk out there.
It's a concert. I mean, it's like a concert.
It is. Amazing.
It's exciting.
He called me and then he had... He platformed me. I'm old enough to be his father. I'm probably older than his father, but he still cared to put us out on stage. And then he came to Liberty Hawk, and he came to, I want to be on a show. And he was so human. He's like, I'm hungry. And we made sure we had food for him, and he got the food. And we put him on the show, and he did great. And then we got in a bickering argument right here on the set, for the Economic War Room, over which code you should use for Patriot Mobile. Do you remember that?
Yeah, code Charlie or code EWR.
Yeah, he only wanted to do it for the fun of it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take the time and give the read here. We do an on-air read during the program, and I'll give the read. And I won't give the code Charlie. I won't give any code. It just tell you, there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. Now, Charlie loved Patriot Mobile. I remember we talking about it. He loved it. He loved anything that promoted liberty, security, and values. And he had a project he wanted me to lead for him. We'll have announcements on that. It's called Saving Civilization Action Network. I was messaging with him on September 9th, the day before he was assassinated, and really regularly since last May. Charlie loves America. He's still in heaven. He's still alive. He's eternally alive. We are, if we're in Christ, we will not die. We may suffer a loss of our body, but we will get a new heavenly body. That's where Charlie is now. And he loves America, and he loves freedom and liberty, but most of all, he loves the Word of God.
That's the difference between Christians and non-Christians, is that we have hope. And I think that has dumbfounded the rest of the world who are not believers. They're confused why we're celebrating his homegoing. They're confused as to why we can be at peace and why there's no riots.
That's a really good point, because Charlie wouldn't want us to write. He's in heaven. He's looking down. He's a great cloud of witnesses watching us. And Doug, you felt that. You got me. Marnie and I wanted to be at the memorial service so badly. We could not. I had committed to Dr. Carson to host his birthday party. The president, Trump, was there and a speaker, and we had so many amazing people there, and it was in Washington. But we don't have a private jet, so
no, we don't.
So we weren't able to get there. And but I wasn't.
Can I point out something though? I think Charlie, he gave Charlie the Medal of Honor.
The Medal of Freedom.
Medal of Freedom. That's right. No. Excuse me.
Yeah. The highest honor for a citizen that's not a military.
Is that not amazing?
He announced another one for Dr. Carson that same night.
So it's two for Dr. Carson. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yep. But anyway. Yeah. So it was a great night, but we couldn't be with you. What was it like to be there with the family and with the team at that amazing? We watched it. We're walking around the streets of Alexandria with our phones watching. I saw Larry Arn and Vice President and so many wonderful people eulogizing, memorializing, honoring him. What was it like in the place?
Well, I'll tell you, it's amazing. So many people that I saw that you see at all the different turning point events that I'm involved in, whether it's America Fest that you'll have out in December of this year, Mar-a-Lago, the different SAS and all the different organizational events that we do to help build turning point. The amount of people that I saw there that came from across the country, across the world, actually, that flew in and wanted to be there to pay their respects and to really just, you know, be a part of America. And I will tell you, the pride, the overwhelming joy, the hugs, the tears, it was all over. It was amazing.
You're going to tear me.
I know.
It's a very emotional thing to see a dear friend, but also a true world leader, you know, honored like that.
Yeah, sorry about that. I just was thinking of it all. You know, I was gone for 12 days straight. I hadn't seen my family. I'd been working from, we're up early in the morning. We didn't go to bed. There's times where we're texting each other, trying to figure out things at 1 o'clock in the morning. Before we go to bed, and went right back up at 4 or 4:35 in the morning, digging in and going right back to work. And
you got contacted by a friend, blast from the past, though. Tell that story. It was interesting.
Yeah, it's such a funny story. I mean, you talk about a small world. I had not talked to this guy in 25 years plus, and hadn't seen him since high school, really. And I get a phone call from my friend Brody Cheryl. And she calls me up and says, "Hey, Doug, this is Brody Cheryl." And Brody was the head of the advance team for the White House and J.D. Vance's team in order to set up all the security and work with us to organize the event. And I'll tell you, our team at Turning Point, the Secret Service, it was one of the biggest events they've ever done. They said, "Look, this is 10 times harder than anything we've ever done before in such a short time." The Super Bowl, when they know that the president's going to the Super Bowl or the inaugurations, all that, those are a year in advance planning events. I mean, literally, they take a year to get that thing all situated. They go through things. This was done literally in less than 7 days, basically. From the time we got the stadium and announced that we were able to use that. And thank you for the incredible folks in Phoenix and the Phoenix Cardinals and allowing us to, the owners of the stadium to allow us to use that. They made it possible, and they bent over backwards to make it happen. And I think I truly believe this was preordained. I mean, in a weird way, from the moment this stuff happened, God had a plan. And I know he puts us in weird situations. We don't ever understand them sometimes. We struggle with it, pain, whatever it might be. But he puts the people in the room that you need to solve the problems and to get through it. The tools and the people. And I truly believe that this event was absolutely, it literally kind of just transpired almost as if Charlie was pulling the strings. I can't say it any other way.
The one who pulled the strings of Charlie was pulling the strings, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He just displayed the Holy Spirit so well that we attribute.
The Holy Spirit pulled the strings, and Charlie was nudging him. He goes, hey, I want this way.
Yeah.
It was a Charlie Kirk event all the way through. I mean, everything that he did led up to this event, and the team knew what to do, how we wanted to do it. It was almost as if it was just written in the stars.
All the
way
to the fireworks. All the way to the fireworks. I mean, it was so turning points, what we wanted. And I'll tell you, that event was so healing. When Erica came out to speak right after his death, what she said was healing. And then this wrapped up. And not that we're not going to continue grieving and need healing, but it turned us to the Lord and started healing our hearts.
What a statement of forgiveness. When she said, I forgive, look, I found this in my scripture reading this morning, Mark 2:7. It says, who can forgive sins but God alone? The message of Jesus was, actually, you can forgive sins and we must forgive. And Erica Kirk displayed that for the world. The difference between the gospel of Jesus Christ and every other religion is our capacity through God supernaturally to forgive sins of others.
Right.
So well said. And that is absolutely true. And she was able to stand there and forgive. And, you know, a lot of people are like, wait, how do you do it? Even the president's like, I can't forgive. You know, we're going to hold people accountable, but forgiving is free. And that is, I think, the best thing that we've learned from this event, that you know, that freeing moment that Erica has sets everything straight. And that's God giving us the ability to do it.
Right. We're going to cover more of this with Charlie Kirk, with Doug DeGroot, and my wife, Marnie, right after this break. We'll be right back.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and I'm joined by my wife, best friend Marnie, and our dear friend Doug DeGroot, who's on the board of Turning Point USA. We're memorializing Charlie Kirk. We're honoring him. We're celebrating how God lived through him and the fact that he's in heaven now and that his words will continue on. And we had Charlie in the economic war room literally 1 year and one day before he was assassinated. He was here with us, spent the afternoon together, evening, had dinner. It was a beautiful time. And he shared so much truth in that very short program. I mean, you look at that and say, how could a 31-year-old be this wise? But he was wise. And he talked about how the nature of humanity, apart from Christ, the nature of humanity is not good. But we can learn to love liberty. So I want to play a clip. If you could play clip one, that'd be great.
Liberty is God's idea, not man's idea. And liberty is the ability to do what one ought to do, not just the freedom to do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. And liberty in its core is given by your creator. Our founding fathers understood that, which is why our declaration and our charter as a country, our birth certificate, is so unique. The question in front of us right now is whether or not the founding fathers were right. And famously, they said that the Constitution is written wholly for a moral and religious people and is wholly inadequate for the people of any other. Wow. Were they right?
Well, I think they were. I mean, we had 250 years.
I agree. But we're no longer moral or religious. So therefore, is the Constitution applicable?
Well, we got to get moral and religious. Don't talk about the Constitution.
No, I'm not suggesting that. It's a very provocative question, isn't it? Because I believe the founding fathers were right. But the point is that you cannot have liberty if you don't have a religious people. And therefore, as America becomes less religious and becomes less moral, then you're going to see the disappearance of liberty. And then there, you disappearance of the pursuit of virtue, the pursuit of duty, of what people ought to do. And so we're living through that right now, and it's a very big problem.
It is a big problem. It is a problem, though, that's not uncommon to great societies. Arnold Toynbee said, great civilizations are not murdered. They take their own lives.
Right.
It appears like we're doing that. Lincoln said, if we're going to lose our liberty, it would be by suicide. And unfortunately, it seems like one of the two political parties is the party of assisted suicide, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's the Democrat Party. Well, so the Democrat Party is the party of slitting the throat of Lady Liberty. And that is the question. Will America want to continue to survive? But this is why they had to lay the seeds for so long that America's systemically racist, America's terrible, America's this awful country. Because if America is all these things, then why wouldn't you kill that? I mean, obviously, you get rid of a tumor if you have it. You go to chemotherapy if you have cancer. So if America is all these evil, irreparable things, then of course you would do that. And so this is a battle for what we fundamentally are as a nation, who we are, what we believe. I'm doing this on campuses. We're doing this in the churches. It is a spiritual war at its core. But liberty will no longer be a value that people demand if they no longer acknowledge where liberty comes from, which is a sovereign creator. You know, we look to the scriptures. You have to ask the question, do people want to be free? And the answer is no. They want to be taken care of. They must be taught to be free.
That sounds like Loki at the Avengers movie, where they say people want to be ruled, they don't want to be free.
And it's true. You think about it, God's chosen people were delivered from Egypt through amazing miracles, and Moses, you know, leads them out, as parting of the Red Sea. They've seen everything. Within a couple chapters in the book of Numbers, they're saying, bring us back to Egypt. We want meat. We ate better. And we want to go back to slavery, go back to death, go back to terrible, because we were comfortable. And that is the struggle in front of us right now in our country.
But if you follow that pattern throughout history, those societies always fail. They always end up in animal farm where the pigs run everything and they live extraordinarily well. It never works out. But America, which took the liberty approach, brought prosperity and success to the entire world from that small band of people.
I agree. And the question is, can we get enough citizens to want to go back to freedom? And look, we must be very clear. When you have liberty, there's no guarantee you're going to achieve the success you want to. You're going to have the ability to. You'll have the agency to, you'll surprise yourself, you'll be able to maybe even succeed even greater, but the guarantee is what you're not gonna have. And look, you'll have your fellow neighbor to rely upon, you know, maybe a social safety net, but Americans say, I wanna be taken care of. Give me free stuff that I haven't earned. And I think that's very, very damaging. And so this is the struggle in front of us, is are we going to be a nation or a civilization that prioritizes self-government, self-sovereignty above this ever-growing leviathan that we see in Washington?
You know, he jumped in right there, Doug, and he just absolutely said it all. He said liberty is God's idea, and that people, they want to be taken care of, and they're willing to sell their liberty for security. And that's a very dangerous thing.
Yeah, I think it was Benjamin Franklin said, if we're willing to give up a little bit of our, are you willing to give up liberty for our safety, then we deserve neither, right?
That's right. And where we end up is a suicide pact. And you know,
right.
Charlie saw it. He saw we were headed to suicide. Let's play clip number two. You got that?
We are following to a T every single hallmark characteristic of how a nation decides to no longer exist. Mass migration and open borders, decline of virtue and moral standards, an obliteration of the family or the nuclear family unit, hyper-centralization of government power, adventurous, unnecessary foreign wars, and debasing of the currency. Rome followed the same pattern, British Empire similar pattern. We are doing that to a T, and we're also ignoring the concerns of the domestic citizen and prioritizing the foreigner.
You know what he was talking about there. I remember Igor Panarin, who was a KGB agent with Vladimir Putin. He talked about how you beat America, how America is going to collapse into five different nations. It was going to be mass migration, open borders, and all of that. And he listened. But did you notice he said the debasing of the currency? Did you hear that?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. We have seen that over and over. You know, King Solomon said that there's nothing new under the sun. And, you know, from my perspective, that's, you know, he's saying that human nature is the same, But actually, it's farther than that. I think you take it. It's God's seen it. He's got it. We know the playbook, so to speak. And that's the Bible. And it tells us where this goes. And Charlie was such a great historian of world events. He knew what was, he studied, he read, he soaked it up. And he could literally filter it out and tell a story like that so quickly and so easily. It was amazing to watch him, move through the crowds and be able to do that in colleges. And now we're in a place where, honestly, Kevin, I really truly believe that he's set the wheels of motion that is going to save Western civilization.
Well, and he did it by supporting a whole lot of people. I mean, he contacted me on the Pirate Money book. What he liked were biblical solutions. And he knew gold and silver. And Doug, you've worked with us and been a huge help in this. But I want to read, when I wrote Pirate Money, he said, I want to endorse the book. It's on the cover, but I'll read his full quote. He said, Kevin Freeman's newest book, Pirate Money, is a map to hidden treasure of liberty, security, and values. Want economic freedom and justice? This book has the answer. No to CBDC and programmable money. Yes to state-based transactional gold and silver with privacy and security. Easy to read, easy to understand. I highly recommend this book. What an endorsement. Why would Charlie Kirk bothered to take time to call me and say, I hear you got a new book. I want to support it.
You know why? It wasn't always, never about him. It was about what God wanted, what was best for this country and family.
You know, Charlie understood, and gold and transactional gold is truly, I think, one of the three legs of the stool that we stand on to bring our country back. The other part of it is policy. One of the things that, Kevin, you've read my letters and have kind of gone after the Federal Reserve paying reserve interest on banks for the last, since like 2017, I think I've been yelling about this as rates started to go up and we're spending left and right money that we didn't have from the taxpayer. Now it's over $240-250 billion a year to subsidize big banks. And gold, if we do this and we get this through, Charlie's vision of the world is going to come true from the standpoint it brings accountability, it shrinks government, and it puts you in charge of your own destiny. And I'll tell you, we are on the path to that because of folks like yourself and the economic war room and obviously the Pirate Money and what you're doing to help build transactional gold. So you're an amazing leader. And Charlie recognized that. He
texted me after we got it passed in Arkansas. He texted me, congratulations, amazing. And then when DeSantis signed it, he texted me. I mean, he watched and saw everything.
I worked with Charlie a lot on the economy stuff. And we talked a lot. And his ability to grasp these concepts was... he had a master's degree in economics without even knowing it.
That's true. Well,
he's getting a degree from Hillsdale College. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, he could go into an economics class tomorrow and teach this stuff far better than 99% of the professors that are out there because he understood truth. He understood truth. He trusted the process that the Lord gave us. As he believed in it in such a way that he had such passion that transcended anything that I've ever seen in my life. And that is why we are in a situation today where we saw hundreds of thousands of people gather around to pray, to join arms. It wasn't just 100,000, 300,000 people around the stadium and in the stadium. It was across the planet.
20 million at least. It's probably much higher than that, but 20 million.
Well, I've heard 100 million people actually viewed this according to what I've read. You know, I don't know.
Wow.
I don't have the digital numbers, but I heard that through resources at Turning Point.
I'm going to believe that. All right. I need to jump in here. Support for this program comes from Glint, a financial technology service offering a debit card and mobile app that enables users to access gold holdings for everyday purchases. With Glint, users maintain ownership of allocated physical gold, which is stored in a managed vault. At the time of a transaction, gold is sold in real time to cover the purchase amount in local currency.
Glint offers an alternative way to store and use the value, combining gold and silver with modern payment infrastructure. Glint clients can monitor their gold balance, view transaction history, and manage their account through the Glint app available on major mobile platforms. More details about how vaulted physical gold can be used as money are available at glintpay.com/gold247. Again, that's glintpay.com/gold247. Glint providing access to gold for modern spending. All right, so Charlie was a big supporter of transactional gold and silver. He was a great friend. He was also an expert on economics, even though he didn't have a degree. Let's play this last clip to roll it up. Clip number three, what socialism is all about. He summed it up perfectly.
Socialism or Marxism, it's not about helping the poor, it's about hating the rich. It's about class envy. You have something that I don't, and I want to take it from you. Because at the core of socialism, Marxism, leftism, nihilism, postmodernism, and the Democrat Party are people that are unsatisfied with their life. They're not full of gratitude. These are discontents. These are people that are not content with their current status, and they want to have power to be able to take from people that they think are better off or happier or more wealthy than they are.
All right, we'll be right back with more from Charlie Kirk, wisdom from the grave, but in the hearts and minds of the people who love him. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be with Doug DeGroot and Marnie Freeman on Pirate Money Radio.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm joined by my wife, Marnie, and our good friend, Doug DeGroot. Doug, who is a board member of Turning Point USA, friend of Charlie and Erica Kirk for years, great friend of the Economic War and Pirate Money Radio, and us personally. And Doug, you know, we're talking about Charlie and what we needed to do to save the country. I want to play a clip and then get your comments on it. It's about how Charlie said, the starting point is changing our attitude. And this is a guy who understood attitude. Let's play that clip and we'll talk about it.
So first and foremost, you must have a revolution in yourself. You must prioritize the beautiful things and the good things and the deep things and no longer look for somebody just to save you. And that's part of what changing your attitude is. What is the attitude that you have? And the left wants you to have an attitude of defeatist, of cynicism, of nihilism. We, in the book, Right Wing Revolution, we argue that you need to have an attitude that we can save this country, that you can improve your life, that if you don't feel as if you're well-informed enough, read more books, get into physical shape, start eating healthier. All these things are necessary to first change your attitude. The left largely is able to get power because of the power we give them. So, for example, so many people are afraid to speak the truth because they're afraid to be called a racist.
Or canceled.
Or be canceled. Well, stop giving them that power. So what does being canceled mean? You might lose your job. Find another one. So what? Find another one. People say, well, that's hard. America was not built on that kind of surrender spirit. So you're going to not speak your mind because you're afraid that somebody might call you a bad name? Yes. Basically, the left...
So, I mean, you say we can say that a girl is a girl and a boy is a boy?
Exactly.
And be biologically, scientifically correct and not get hammered for it?
Precisely. And what we see every single day is people that are willing to shut up themselves, to shut up what they know is true, because they're afraid of some sort of name that they're going to be called. They have a spell that they've cast on the nation. Ooh, you're a racist, so you can't oppose mass migration. You have to resist that, change the attitude, say, I don't care. I'm going to elevate what matters above what doesn't matter.
Oh, all right. Change your attitude. Don't let them cancel you. What else? What else should we...
Well, also changing your attitude is stop being so negative. I find some people on the right feel as if that the inevitable doom cycle of America is unstoppable. I want to be very clear. What we just articulated in the previous conversation is not a death sentence. America is a unique country. It's a bigger country. We have a lot of fight left. We are not surrendering. Look what you're doing, what Turning Point's doing. There's a lot of people out there that still want their country back. And so it's not as if the majority of the country wants to commit suicide. It's that we have an oligarchy that is convincing enough people here or there to do that.
Yeah, you know, Doug, you were with Charlie a lot at very personal moments and very personal times. Did he always have this upbeat attitude?
Charlie was a cup half full guy. He never looked at something that was like he had moments of like, hey, we got to fix this. But he never looked at life as something he couldn't fix. And that's, I think, his fervent belief in our Lord and the fact that God gives us these opportunities and has forgiven us and saved us, it allows him to live a life of joy and to pass that on. He is truly the salt and the light that we all want to be like. And he lived it here on earth. And I will tell you, he took those examples to the Bible. And you think of what he just said about changing yourself and leadership. If you read Deuteronomy, it's all about the laws of how to set up a country, but it's more than that. It's how to set yourself up. And that's something that I think that Charlie was able to look at that and look at those rules and look at the things that God put in front of us that made him such a hopeful person and a spirit of joy that I'm going to forever miss. I mean, he was my friend. I love him to death. I learned more from that guy than anybody I've ever been around. And I just, I hope I continue to figure out a way to channel his energies in my own life, because you know what he's done and how he's done it is just unbelievable. And it's through spirit, it's through the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, that's why people are finding the Bible, they're finding their church, and that's going to give our country a great opportunity to succeed and change its path.
You know, Marnie, you're a mom, and you've raised two beautiful daughters with me, but all their friends, all the young people. Charlie's attitude was infectious, wasn't it?
I thought to myself when this happened, and Doug, I'm going to start crying again, but I thought to myself, if I would have had an Erica Kirk or Charlie Kirk to follow or to hear or to learn from
when I was younger,
wow, what could I have done?
Yeah, you know. But you have raised two beautiful daughters, and they had a
Marnie
Freeman to follow. And Doug DeGroot, you've been powerful. And our daughters, our daughter had a need to get to a mission trip to Spain, and you stepped up and helped us with that. And you've got beautiful daughters. I saw, I was calling you just the conference that we had, the State Freedom Caucus, and your daughter was there registering. It's like, oh my gosh, you're Doug's daughter. Anyway, we're young people and the focus that he had. But they need a right-wing revolution. And that sounds very political, but it's not political. I want to play for you what Charlie Kirk said a right-wing revolution would look like. Let's play that clip.
So, Charlie.
Yes.
Let's have a right-wing revolution.
We need it.
What would America look like?
Church attendance would go up. Family formation would continue. Young people would get married at younger ages. The fertility rate would be reversed. We would have less looting, less murder, less stealing. And I tell people, let's look at the Ten Commandments. Let's take the top, the five on
first
one
five.
Side.
Okay.
Again, I'm a big, the second five. The first five I'm a big fan of. No gods before me. No idols. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Honor the Sabbath. Honor your mother and father. Okay, that's the first five. The second five, okay, I'm going to get the order mixed up, but we'll get to the five. You know, do not murder. Do not steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't commit adultery. Do not covet. Those five. A right-wing revolution would be honoring those five things. We'd have less looting and less stealing. For example, if we had a right-wing revolution in this country, if you stole a toothbrush in a Walgreens in San Francisco, you're going to be prosecuted. No $900 threshold. We're not going to have illegals in our country overrunning our streets. And we'll have a return of virtue in this
now,
country.
Now, that's not happening, but it's good that it is.
Exactly. No, I debate these libs, and they say, oh, it's not happening that they're stealing toothbrushes, but it's good that it is because they need it. I said, which one is it exactly? But no, a right-wing revolution, the beautiful thing would be an elevation. Hopefully it would be a religious revival, would be a spiritual revival, would see people putting what matters first and understanding it at a core and fundamental level. And then finally, we would hopefully be able to balance our federal budget, have sound currency, a booming economy. But here's the thing, Kevin. Everything I just talked about is a choice. We could do this. We're the strongest country ever. We are choosing not to do those things. We're choosing to go in a direction. Why? I think it's spiritual. I think that our eyes are being blinded right now by a terrible, terrible force. We can choose to be great again. We can choose to be rich again. We can choose to send our kids back to church. We can choose to get married at a younger age. The beautiful is not an abstract. The beautiful is a choice in front of us.
Well, what's it going to take to get people to say, I want that, I need that?
Well, I think we have to hit rock bottom in some ways, and I think we already have.
We are.
Yeah. The lesson of the 20th century is that if you think things are bad, it can get a lot worse. So we need Donald Trump to win.
You know, and he did help make Donald Trump win. Many people believe, and the President Trump said it. We were there with him, and he said he got the young people to vote for me. Donald Trump attributes his election to Charlie Kirk.
Right.
It's amazing. And he wasn't just writing a book. He was like, I'm going to get out there and cause this to happen. And he did it in life with Turning Point, and he did it in his death at that memorial service. I want to play the impact from the college campus via Turning Point USA. Let's play clip number 6.
I'll tell you just on the college campus stuff. I've been doing this for 12 years. I show up on a college campus now. It used to be 3 or 4 kids come and ask questions. There are thousands of kids there. I'm talking about from Boulder to UW-Madison, to University of North Texas. I mean, we're talking about crowds of which I've never seen before. And we give out these MAGA hats. We run out of them in like 5 minutes. Kids on college campuses wanted MAGA hats.
Wow. No,
and so it's very interesting that I think younger people reject the premise of an American suicide. I think they say, why would we want to kill this country? I'm 18, I want a future.
Right.
Boomers are fine with American suicide, right? Perfectly, many of them, right? I get so much hate mail when I say this, but it's true. They have authored, perfected, and overseen a slow-motion American suicide for 40 years. So why would they stop, right? Young people say, no, I don't own a home. I'm not yet married. Everything's unaffordable. I don't want to go get drafted in World War III. I reject the premise, and that is our message.
That is the message at Turning Point. That's the message you, Doug, are going to carry forward under the leadership of Charlie's widow, Erica, and carry that forward. There is a future and a hope. It's not Charlie Kirk. It's not the political system. It's Jesus. But if we apply those biblical principles, we will win. And that's what Turning Point's doing, right?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, Charlie's, you know, just incredible fearlessness. He lived free and fearlessly. And one of the things that I think that in that speech that he's referring to is, you know, you had Roosevelt that said it's a chicken in every pot. Well, it's really a prayer in every dinner table. We got to get back to dinner as a family. As family is going to save this nation, and it's God's wisdom that he created family because of that. And it gives that, and that's the thing that I think that Charlie touches on. We talked about, alluded to your beautiful children and my children and our wives. I mean, I'll tell you what, that is what is going to save America, is getting us back to the dinner table where we talk, where we discuss things, and you grow them up. And, you know, grow them up, they will not
depart. That's right. So here's the thing. Turning Point USA, I think there's something like 60,000 or more requests for new chapters, up from 2,000 if you add high school and college together. So it's just exploded. How can people support Turning Point USA? Where do they go?
Look, your kids are in the front lines. And if you go to Turning Point USA or tpusa.com and support the Turning Point USA, we're going to be able to fund these new chapters. It's overwhelming. We've had thousands and thousands of people looking for jobs. So people that we can hire to put them in place to help run these chapters, it's amazing. But
it
that
is.
Takes effort. We need your help, so please support us.
TPUSA.com to learn more, right? If you have questions, if you have prayer needs, if you have comments, email us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com and pray. Pray for America. Pray for the Kirk family. Listen wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, etc. It's Kevin Freeman joined by Marnie Freeman and Doug DeGroote for Pirate Money Radio.
Arrgh.